Let's see how good you are. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. I have preached from this verse on a couple of occasions. This is not going to be the same message. But it is something that Nehemiah, you know, I am so glad to be a child of God.
Amen.
It's not because I've ever done anything worthy. I haven't done anything worthy, but Jesus did. Jesus shed his blood that I might have forgiveness of my sin. And so, for that reason, God has saved me. And I am so glad. There was a time, and just to give you a little background, if you're not familiar with this, the book of Nehemiah, there was a time when Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And he used to take the cup in for the king. And it was against the law to look sad when you went before the king. You always had to have a smile on your face. Wouldn't you just love that? You know, you get in the mirror and look in the mirror and there's that big smile. And you're hurting. You know, so anyway, he went in and he didn't have a smile. And the king noticed it and the king said, Nehemiah, what's wrong? And Nehemiah said, well, my home is in shambles. And my people are unprotected. And the king said, well, go do what you need to do. And so he sent Nehemiah to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Now, Ezra had already gone ahead of him. Ezra had been there actually a couple of years before, and Ezra had rebuilt the temple. And so Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall. And he got there. And after he got there, the people were so glad that he was there and so glad that he was rebuilding the wall. But he did something. And folks, I hope that you experience the same thing that he did. He and Ezra brought the book of the law out. And they read it to the people. And the people stood there the entire time they were reading all of the law to the people. And then they were happy. They were rejoicing, and yet some of them were sorrowing because they had not kept the law. And so Nehemiah made this statement to them, and we're going to start with that tonight. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, Nehemiah 8, 10, says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What a fantastic thought. That God's joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I am so happy in the Lord. I really am. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I'm happy to be where he wants me to be. So he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God wants you to be happy. He does not want you to be sad. He's not going to do anything to you to make you sad. He's not going to do anything to you to hurt you. God is going to give you joy. Somehow he's going to give you joy. So let me ask a question. Would you rather live joyfully or would you rather live in a state of sorrow and gloom? Where do you want to live? Huh? I don't think any of us want to live in this place that's gloomy, where there's sorrow. Would you like to live to have your life be one filled with praise and gratitude for what God is doing in your life? Because you know Jesus. I hope everybody here tonight knows Jesus. I do. I hope you know him personally. I hope you know what a friend he can be, what a companion he can be. Even when you are all alone. There was a song, You Never Walk Alone. We need to sing that once in a while, you know, because we don't walk alone. We've got Jesus walking beside us all the time. And we've got his Holy Spirit living within us all the time. And so we can have joy. And so if you know Jesus, not a day goes by that you don't have something that you can praise the Lord for. Something. He's going to do something for you good. And so I love walking with God's Holy Spirit every day that God gives me for this life. Now, I would like for you to think through this fact with me. Think through this fact with me. When you wake up in the morning, there are several things that you can be sure of. God has a specific purpose for you for that day. He has a specific purpose for you for that day. That's pretty important. He's trusting you. He's trusting you to do something for him that he needs somebody to do, and you're it. God has a specific purpose for you in that day. God wants to bless you in everything that is associated with his will. God has a will. We have our own wills, and sometimes our will is not quite parallel to God's will, but God has given each person a will, free will, and then he has his own purpose for you. Now, years ago, we had a lady who was part of a mission that we supported and we were involved with. And she did one of these things you hang on the wall that, you know, you embroider. And she embroidered a verse. And I was so glad for that verse. It says, this is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. Every morning when I wake up, I see that on the wall. And it reminds me about some things that God wants us to. God wants you to be happy. When you see a Christian scowling, when you see a Christian scowling, you are looking at a person that is not in fellowship with the Lord. Now, even if you see that person in the bathroom mirror, think about that. You're looking at somebody whose heart is not quite right with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be happy. Lord wants us to rejoice in him. The person that you're looking at in the mirror needs to rejoice in the Lord so that they can be a good testimony and so that they can be in fellowship with their Lord. If we think about our relationship with God, if we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit in our heart, folks, what do we have to be sad about? Jesus will send you a smile. He will never send a scowl. Show me a verse in the Bible where God sends anybody a scowl. He doesn't do it. He sends smiles. He sends joy. And that's what we want to do. We want to live by faith so that we can have that kind of joy in our life every day. That doesn't mean the whole day may go perfectly. But God wants your day to be joy-filled. He does not want you to be sad. Just like when they were reading the word and Nehemiah said, don't be, you know, he said, don't be sad. This day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And folks, that's what it is. It can be your strength. And it should be your strength if you will let it. Now, there are two kinds of people in the world. Optimist and pessimist. I don't know which one you are, but I hope you're an optimist. Now, some of the men are thinking, well, my wife is a pessimist. She always thinks something's going to go wrong. God wants all of us to be optimists. He has saved you to give you the joy of the Lord, that that might be your strength. God does not ever send a scowl to anybody's face. Never. Never. If there's a scowl there, you put it there, okay? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. If there is a scowl there, you put it there. Not God. God is present to send you blessings. That's what he wants to do. He wants to send you blessings. Ask yourself this question when you approach God in your prayers. Are you glad to be coming into the presence of God, or are you unhappy about coming into an earthly relationship with the creator of the universe? Think about that. He created the universe, and there is nothing he cannot create to meet your need for the moment. He will do that for his people. If you are his servant, he is going to take care of you. Let me ask you another question. Has God ever done anything detrimental or mean-spirited to you? No. And yet, we're so reluctant to want to serve him. We're so reluctant to want to do sometimes the very things that he wants us to do. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be a testimony for him. He wants people to see the joy of the Lord in your life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Has God ever found it necessary to chasten you? Yes, I have to admit there have been times when he's had to chasten me. Now, he doesn't do it in anger. And he does it in a way that he knows it will correct what the problem is. If I let him, I can resist. I can say, no, God, I don't want that. I want what I want. And sometimes we do that. But God wants to send blessing into your life, no matter where you are in life. In the opening verse of Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah had left his place of service to the king in order to return to Jerusalem and do the job that God called him to do. This evening, God has called every one of you to a job. Maybe it's raising children. Maybe it's raising an infant husband. Whatever it might be, okay? And maybe it's helping your wife get through this thing. I don't know what it is. But God has given every one of you a job to do. And it is supposed to be done for today. He's going to give you a different job tomorrow. But he's going to give you a job to do. Every morning when you wake up, there is something sitting there waiting for you to do for the Lord. And if you will find out what that is and go ahead and do it, you're going to have a blessed day. You're going to be blessed by God. You're going to be so happy that you have accomplished something that God wanted you to accomplish. Every one of you. It's not just me. It's not just the deacons. It's every one of you. If you know Jesus Christ, he's got something for you to do. Now, the year that Nehemiah did this, rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem, was about 430 BC. That was a long time ago. That was 2,500 years ago, almost 2,500 years ago. And God had called Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem for the purpose of serving God. So don't be surprised if God calls you to a place you have been before, because you haven't finished the job. Think about that. He gives you a job to do. He wants you to be a good testimony. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to have his strength in your life and upon your life. And so he calls you to a place to do a job. Go do it. Go do it. No matter what it is, go do it. Even if you have to learn to play the flugelhorn, go do it. God's got something, and he wants to help you. Folks, he does. He wants to help you do this job. And he is just waiting right there to help you get through that. So, we should respond to the Word of God, the same way we would respond to the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. He's going to lead you. He's going to take your heart to the place that he wants it. And if you will let him do that, what has he promised to do? He's promised to give you what? The joys of your heart. And that's what he wants to do. That as the children of God, we should celebrate our relationship with a loving God and Savior. As his children, we should celebrate. Let me give you a verse you should have in your bedroom. It's the very same one I just told you about. It's in Psalm 118:24. I don't know how good you are at cross stitch, but we've got somebody here who can surely do that if you can't find it someplace. But it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Wow, think about that. Think about that. I rejoice when I go home on Sunday night. It's over. No, that's not it. That's not it at all, folks. I rejoice because we've had a successful day with the Lord. We've had a day where we have not offended him. We've had a day where we have done what he wanted us to do. And I rejoice in that day. Sunday morning, I get up a little earlier than I normally do, and I am glad to do it because I'm looking forward to the time with the Lord and the time with the Lord's people, not you. We should celebrate our relationship with a loving God and Savior, and we should think of this passage every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. I feel sort of sorry for people who claim to know Jesus, to go around looking like they could eat oatmeal out of a Coke bottle. Long face. I hope you're not the one in the grocery store walking through thinking, you know, looking like you would rather be someplace else. smile at people on the aisle. Smile at them. See how they respond. And see when you meet them on another aisle, what happens? They smile. You are showing an interest in people. God has an interest in people. He wants you to be his representative. There's another verse that I'd like for us to look at before we move on to another aspect of our relationship with God. And tonight we are looking at living by faith. Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Are you saved tonight? Are you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. I hope so. God is there to save us. Each of us should always be glad and rejoicing in the reality of our salvation. Always. What do you base your salvation upon? You're deserving of it? Your entitlement to it? What do you base your salvation upon? Is your salvation built upon a feeling, or is your salvation defined by this book? Is this where you got your salvation from? Then you got the real McCoy. You got the real thing. Because that's where it's at. That's the only place that it is. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. God has, in love and grace, given it to us. And it has changed our life. Our life is going to be different. Now, I want you to think about this, and I hope you're not one of these people. When I am witnessing to people, occasionally I will ask them if they are saved. Now, you may ask them the same thing. I get out a gospel track, you know, and I'm ready to give them a gospel track. And this tonight I've got gospel tracks in my pocket. By the way, we have 6,000 gospel tracks coming in. They're in the mail someplace. So there's going to be plenty of them. Spanish and English. So you'll have something for everyone that you meet. Anyway, when I give somebody a gospel tract and I ask them, are you saved? Occasionally, they reply, I hope so. There's a problem with that, folks. There's a big problem with that. Salvation is not something that you feel. Salvation is something you experience. Salvation is something that gets a hold of you and will not let you go anyplace else. You belong to Jesus Christ. He bought you. He bought your soul. He bought your heart. He bought your life. And so if you hear somebody say, well, I hope so, what are they building their salvation on? It's not built on hope. Salvation is not built on hope. Salvation is built on fact of what Jesus did. And we don't have to be any particular thing to enjoy and experience the salvation that Jesus Christ bought for us. That's marvelous. So next time you go home and kick the dog because you've had a bad day, and some of you are shaking your heads now, you bite. The next time, be glad Be glad that you are saved, that Jesus Christ has died for you, and you know it because you have read it in the book. Now we're talking about living by faith, and I hope you are experiencing that in your life. I really do. It's a whole different lifestyle. It's a whole different thing. You don't worry about what's going to happen. You let God take care of you. You let God prepare anything, all the blessings he's got for you. You let him provide what you have need of. What a blessing. What a great thing. When we set out, when each one of us set out in the day, okay, I'm going to do this, or I'm planning on that. According to your will, Lord, let him take you wherever he wants to. Let him take you wherever he wants to. Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. That's the only place it says it comes from. That the Holy Spirit brings faith when he moves in. But it tells us in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you head off to work tomorrow morning without reading at least one verse, okay, and I hope you can't sit down and read one verse. I hope you got to read a bunch of them. But if you set off tomorrow morning without reading one verse, you have no basis for your faith other than the verses that are stored up here. People who choose to be disobedient to the word of God do not have faith. Let me say that again. This is awfully important, and we need to get a hold of that in our hearts, each one of us, an individual. If people are disobedient to the word of God, they are not living by faith. Think of it. Not living by faith. Jesus is there to light up your life. You are to be the light of the world. You are to be the salt that preserves the people around you. And that is the only job you've got. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be powerful. You don't have to have 100 million people on your Facebook. You don't have to have one on your Facebook. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got God. And that's where the faith comes from. So you're living by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's let the word of God be a part of our life every day. Every day. No regular Bible reading? I think there's going to be a problem with your faith. I do. I think if you're not reading the word on a regular basis, that you're going to have problems living by faith. And that's what God wants you to do. Jesus was teaching his disciples about the kind of people that may be influenced by the word. Jesus taught that we need to be very careful about the character of the people that we hang out with. Think about that. We need to be careful about the people we hang out with. God is not looking for darkness in your life. There is not a verse in the Word of God that says God is looking for darkness. He is looking for light. He's looking for life. That's what he is looking for. Jesus is not looking for darkness in a person's soul and in their life. Look closely at what Jesus said in a way of warning to his disciples. And he talked about this in Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, 34 through 36. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when an eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, and that's what he wants from us, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. You know, I'm amazed when I'm watching one of the old Westerns and they light a candle. Boy, that room just blossoms with light. I can't get that. My candles to burn like that at home. Okay. The devil wants to take over control of people's influence upon God's people. That's a warning, folks. The devil wants to take over influencing people as they influence God's people. Make sure that the people that you hang around with are the people who are full of light. If there's any darkness in them, get away from them. Get away from them. God wants you to be light. He wants you to be full of light. He wants our church family to be light. He does not want darkness. He wants light. And that's what we're working towards. That's why we're bringing in somebody like Mike Schrock. That's why we're bringing in somebody like Dave Barba. Mike Schrock in February, Dave Barba in September. We want to be filled with light. We want our hearts stirred up. We want our souls stirred up so that they are on fire. So that we will be effective in the world around us. In the Old Testament, the church did something. Well, there wasn't a church then. There was a synagogue. There was the temple. God had given rules. He had told them how things were to be taken care of. In the Old Testament, there was a sin sacrifice to be offered. That sacrifice was never offered in the temple. Never. It was always offered outside of the temple. Because the temple was to be holy. The temple was to be a sacred place where God lived. And so the thing that they had to do, they had to put sin out of the camp in order to deal with it. As a church family, we're going to have to be just as careful and that we don't permit darkness in our midst. That's what we are working toward. We do not want darkness. We want light. And God will make that possible. God will place a light in any person willing to do his will. Anyone. No matter what they've done in the past, no matter what, God wants to put light within their soul. And we want to see him do that. I need light within my soul. You need light within your soul. I need my soul stirred up. I need my soul revived. so do you. And so that's what we're working towards, is to see our souls, all of our souls, revived. You know, church family, we're going to put the world out of our church. Excuse me. We're going to put the world out of our church. And we're going to do that by being obedient. What did Jesus say? John 14:15. Remember? I hope I've got it right. Not John 15:14, but I think it's John 15:14. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And folks, we want to love him. We want him. We want our neighbors to know that we love him. We want our families to know we love him. We want everybody that we know to know that we love him and that we are keeping his commandments. What a privilege. The person that turns to the world for a solution to a problem is not walking by faith. Where are you going to go to have the Lord solve a problem in the world? And that's what so many people do. They turn to the world to solve their problems. And the world cannot solve their problems. The world is their problem. And so we need to make sure that if we, you and I, either any of us, have a problem, we turn to the Word, we turn to our church family for a solution. Not to the world. The world can't solve it. The world is the enemy. What did he tell us? Love not the world, not the things of the world. Whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so if you see a brother or sister in Christ turning to the world, not necessarily because they want to do something that's wrong, but turning to the world because that's the only place they know to go, you point them back to the right direction. You point them back. You're there. God has put you there for that very reason, that you can turn them back to where they need to be. Now, we meet here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church in order to be taught and trained to turn to God, not mankind, for the necessities of life. God is the one who's going to give those. For the Christian or for the born-again child of God, our walk must be the walk of faith. And folks, you will not find faith out there in the world. It's not there, people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where you're going to get it. You're going to get it from the Holy Spirit. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith, he brings it. It's to be a part of our life. You're not going to find it out in the world. Our friends, our loved ones are not going to find it out in the world. They're going to find it here. And as they read through here, this book, they will discover what Jesus has done for them. And when they turn to him and receive him as their Savior, the Holy Spirit will come in and he will bring faith. And then the more we read the word, the more faith, our faith will be built up and built up. One of the things that Helen was very upset about yesterday when I met with her, she did not like being alone. She did not like being alone. And there are times, folks, when you and I think we're alone, but we're not. Jesus made a statement to all of his disciples. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we don't walk alone. We walk with him. And sometimes we have to call out, Lord Jesus, come be with me. Let me feel your presence. Let me be aware of the fact that you are with me, that you are walking with me, that you have not left me. You have not deserted me. And folks, we'll get through. We'll get through. We'll be the example to others that we need to be. We want to see every member of our church family come to this point which Jesus clearly taught his disciples. There's no more important principle in the life of a born-again believer. Listen to what Jesus said, John 14, 23 through 27. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And folks, that's how you can know whether a person is really born again or not. If they love Jesus, they'll keep his word. They'll try. If they don't love him, they will not try. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then I have underlined this next verse. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then this great benediction. This is so great. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What more can you want? That's God talking to you. That's God telling you. He loves you. He's going to be with you forever. From this statement, these few verses, 23 through 27 of John 14. Obedience equals faith and love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Disobedience equals hatred and unbelief. And people, we do not want any hatred here. We don't. We don't need it. We can't afford it. We want to be love. We want to be obedience. Best we can be. We're all human. We all have appetites. We all have a sin nature. And there are times it gets the best of us. Do what the Word says. Obey it. And there won't be a problem. The reason that this has become so important to our church family is that we are trying to prepare our hearts and our souls to be ready to respond during the special meetings that we're going to have in February and September next year. We want to please our Lord. We want to please Him. And we want to please our Savior in everything that we do. We need to let the Holy Spirit initiate actions in our lives to do what God wants. He wants you to do something. I can't tell you what it is. That's between you and God. That's between you and His Holy Spirit. But He does want you to do something. And He'll show you if you'll let Him, if you'll ask Him. Do you think God wants to keep a secret from us of everything He wants for us? No. God's going to tell us. God's going to show us. God wants to use us. If it appears that there are those among us who do not want to follow God's commands, then by Scripture, by this book, we will be forced to give them a chance to repent and change their actions, or to have them go someplace else. That may sound hard. It is not, folks. It is love for the Lord Jesus Christ and love for you, for all, every one of you. I want you all to understand that I do love all of our church family. I do. I love every one of you. I want to see you experience the love of God in your hearts. I want to see you experience the presence of God and the service of God in your life. Connie and I pray for each one of you every day. And I hope you pray for us. I believe somebody must be, because there's some good things happening in our lives. But I pray for you that you will be in the place spiritually where God would have you to be. One thing that concerns me about the overall situation is this: that there are people who think that they have the ability to help people who are not walking by faith to change. And remember, I talked about pride, that little five-letter word, P-R-I-D. And it is pride on all of our part if we think that we have the power of God to change anybody's heart or anybody's situation. There is only one. I hope He lives in your heart. He's called Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to empower you. He's there to give you knowledge of what Jesus wants. But He is there. He is there. He is really there. And no matter what situation you're in, you can turn to Him and He will help you. If we walk by faith, we'll find ourselves in the perfect will of God. As we go through this life, And this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. He's a wonderful God. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. Father, thank you. I don't understand why you would love a creature such as I. But Father, we know you do. You have said you do. And so, Father, as we close our service this evening, help us to remember that you are our guide. You are the one who provides for us. You are the one who dictates our path. And Father, may you find all of us, every one of us, on the path that you have laid out for us, your perfect path. And use us, Father, to glorify yourself, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, may we see people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior as a result of what we find written in your word and the place that you have placed us. Thank you, Father. May we be part of your family. May we be your children. May we be doing what you would have us to do. And we will praise you because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.